Well, at the bottom of the hour, I would like to say hello to all and welcome to the teleclass, Dermal Absorption of Alcohol Hand Disinfectants. My name is Paul Weber, and on behalf of my colleague, Dr. Syed Sattar, I will say that we are very pleased indeed that you have made this time to be with us today. You folk are joining this teleclass from five continents, and it is a real honor to welcome you to teleclass education. Our faculty today is no stranger to the scientific and medical world. Professor Axel Kramer is the director of the Institute of Hygiene and Environmental Medicine at Greifswald University in Germany. With his colleagues, he has undertaken an extensive body of research on alcohol hand disinfectants, including some very recent work that you'll hear about in just a minute. Professor Kramer is heading up a working group to explore the use of alcohol hand disinfectants in lieu of surgical scrubs. He was also one of the impressive group of experts that assembled the new WHO hand hygiene guidelines. The list of awards and honors that he has received is far too long to enumerate here. Suffice it to say that this is a very important teleclass, and it is a pleasure and an honor to have Professor Kramer as a member of our teleclass faculty. Before Professor Kramer begins his presentation, I would also like to note that this teleclass has been made possible in part due to the sponsorship of the DEB International Group and DEB SBS in particular. Thanks to Alan Soden and everyone at DEB for their support. Now, to give the teleclass, Dermal Absorption of Alcohol Hand Disinfectants. From the University of Greifswald, I am pleased to present Professor Axel Kramer. Axel.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, sorry for my English, but I hope you can understand me. On the first slide, you see the skyline of my little town, 60,000 inhabitants. This town is in the north of Germany, nearby the Baltic Sea. The next slide, please. The starting point is that the CDC guideline for hand hygiene clearly favors the use of alcohol-based hand rubs in hospitals because antimicrobial soaps have significant disadvantages such as lower efficacy, worse dermal tolerance, higher potential for impaired efficacy due to an incorrect performance, and finally the necessity of a wash washing. The next slide, please. The aim of our study is the determination of systemic alcohol absorption after excessive hygienic or surgical hand disinfection. We chose a high exposure because no exact absorption rates following hand disinfection are published, and for chemical analysis, concentrations about the detection limits are necessary. The next slide, please. Some comments toward to the method. The hand rubs were applied in a room of 37 cubic meter with open windows and door, but no controlled air exchange during application, how in German hospital. Between applications, the volunteers went to another room in which no one was allowed to use an alcohol-based hand rub, and the blood samples were taken in a third room. The next slide, please. Six males and six females were included in the study. Exclusion criteria were visible skin lesions on hands or forearms, skin disease, intake of ethanol in any form 2 days before, pregnancy or lactation, and no participation in another clinical trial. The next slide, please. On five consecutive days, each day, one product was tested. For each application, four milliliter were applied to both hands in the test room and rubbed in for 30 seconds. After a break of 1 minute outside the test room, the procedure was repeated 20 times, which resulting in a total exposure time, which each hand rub of 10 minutes over 30 minutes. If we compared the ale situation with our trial. We have applied 20 times in 30 minutes. Real in our intensive care unit is at least every 15 minutes one disinfection in the ICU. The next slide, please. The surgical hand disinfection, the trial was identically, but of course not 30 seconds, but 3 minutes. And for this, the application was repeated 5 times for hands and forearms. After a break of 5 minutes outside the test room, a total of 10 surgical hand disinfections were performed, which resulting in a total exposure time, which each hand rub of 30 minutes over 80 minutes. The next slide, please. In our surgical theater of ophthalmology, for instance, we have in this the shortest operations, we found that at least 10 minutes pass between cataract operation and thereby 15 minutes between surgical hand disinfection. But in the normal surgery, a surgeon carried out 3 surgical hand disinfections over 6 hours. So we can say we have really a very excessive exposition in our trial. The next slide, please. The blood sampling were taken after skin antisepsis with iodophores on water-soluble basis, of course without alcohol content. Blood samples were taken through a Venflone before the first daily disinfection to get the baseline, and in determined intervals up to 90 or 120 minutes. The next slide, please. The analysis was performed by gas chromatography with very sensitive mode. In the next slide, please, you can see the detection thresholds. They varied between 0.01 and 0.1 for ethanol. I can say this is really very sensitive. The next slide, please. The proportion of absorbed ethanol and acetaldehyde was determined for each hand rub and type of application by the method of Wittmann. The absorbed amount is equal to the product of body mass and the maximal serum level multiplied by 0.7 for male and 0.6 for female. The next slide, please. We tested 3 different ethanol hand rubs to prove the statement that ethanol concentration between the under level of 55% and the highest level of 95% are considered to be safe. The next slide, please. In the literature, we found no data on ethanol absorption by hand disinfection. In the whole literature, no rise of ethanol in serum was found even after excessive exposure by using dressings for 3 hours soaked with 200 milliliter ethanol. The next slide, please. We tested the hand rubs blinded. Product A content 95%, ethanol B 85% and C 55%. The next slide, please. The serum baseline levels for ethanol ranged between 0.01 and 10 milligram per liter, for acetaldehyde 0.31. In 83.8% of samples, the baseline of ethanol concentration was below the limit of detection, and for acetaldehyde this was in 6%. The next slide, please. The results indicate the abstinence of volunteers from ethanol before beginning the experiments. The next slide, please. The exposure by hygienic hand disinfection was calculated for the applied amount, 60 gram for preparat A, 56 for B and 40 for C. The next slide, please. I come to the results. The highest serum levels of ethanol was found 30 minutes after the last application. The maximum of serum levels varied between 0.007 and 0.2. The total amount of absorbed ethanol was for preparat A about 1,300, for B, of course, lower, 630, and for C also, of course, lower, because the alcohol content is not so high, 350. But the proportion of absorbed ethanol was in principle equal for all preparates between 0.9 and 3.2. The next slide, please. The blood concentration of acetaldehyde after hygienic hand disinfection ranged between 0.2 and 0.6. The next slide, please. The conclusion is all values are within physiological range, also for the acetaldehyde, as the metabolic from ethanol. The next slide, please. I come to the surgical hand disinfection. The applied amounts were for product A 150 grams, for B 140, and for C about 100. The next slide, please. The highest serum levels of ethanol was found also after 30 minutes after the last application, and the serum levels varied between 0.008 and at highest 0.03 per mil. The total amount of absorbed ethanol was for product A 1,000, for product B, this was a gel, 1,500, and for product C, this was a solution, as product A, about 500. And the proportion of absorbed ethanol ranged between 0.5 and 1.1%. In principle, the same level as for hygienic hand disinfection. The next slide, please. The blood concentration of acetaldehyde after surgical hand disinfection ranged between 0.9 and 3.6. The next slide, please. Also, in this study, all values are within physiological range. But acetaldehyde was significantly above baseline, but after 30 and 60 minutes, levels of acetaldehyde began to go down slowly. The next slide, please. In our test model, of course, as well as in practice, it's not possible to distinguish between dermal and pulmonary absorption. So we describe the overall absorption by practical hand disinfection as in hospital. But the increase of blood levels after the last application up to 30 minutes could be explained only by dermal absorption. The next slide, please. I come to the risk assessment for the ethanol absorption. Under our extreme test conditions, which will not be found in hospitals, only 0.5 to 2.3% of applied ethanol is absorbed, which was nearly independent of the ethanol concentration in the hand rub. The calculation under real conditions, if we say we make 3 surgical hand disinfection over 6 hours, which is normal praxis, then we become for men approximately 0.0025 per mil, and for women 0.0035 per mil. It's clear both ethanol levels are systemically safe. They are only twofold higher than the baseline in our study, and are distinctly lower than the maximum of physiological value. You will remember in the literature, the highest baseline was given of 0.01 per mil. The next slide, please. In reality, we have a metabolization rate of ethanol, which is 150 milligram per liter blood per hour, or 0.15 per mil per hour. As consequence, in real-time intervals between hand disinfections, the effective resulting blood level of ethanol would be remarkably lower than in our model. We make in the moment a further experience in our surgical theater to prove this hypothesis. The next slide, please. Apple juice may contain 2 gram ethanol. Before this study, I don't know this also, I think as you. Drinking of 0.5 liter apple juice will result in men of 0.17 per mil and for women 0.25 per mil. This is 10 times higher compared with the ethanol absorption in our excessive test model. I think this is very important. The next slide, please. I come to part 2, the absorption of propan-1-ol and of propan-2-ol, or the other word for this is isopropanol. The origin of baseline serum levels for ethanol is, in the opinion of the literature, the intestinal flora, as well as fruit juice, antiseptic mouthwashes, and other nourishment. For propan-1-ol in the literature, no baseline levels are known. And for isopropanol, this is to get in the metabolism by reduction of acetone, so we can say isopropanol is also a physiological metabolic product in our metabolism. The next slide, please. Some facts about absorption of propan-1-ol. No data in literature are given on absorption of propan-1-ol. I have found only these in vitro data on isolated human epidermis, the constant of permeability, with the result that the highest absorption is for isopropanol, followed by propan-1-ol, and then followed by ethanol. The next slide, please. For isopropanol, Turner et al. Have in 2004 published a study on dermal absorption after a normal hand rub, also excessive, every 10 minutes over 4 hours. The product contained 53% isopropanol, and the serum level ranged between 0.5 and 1.8 milligram per liter. One person has no detectable level. Turner et al. Concluded, from the literature is known that 500 milligram per liter are associated with mild toxic symptoms. Therefore, they said further studies are necessary to clarify these results. The next slide, please. What we know about the absorption of isopropanol. Here are different case reports in the literature on dermal as well as inhalative intoxication. For instance, a 6-month-old child become compresses within 2 hours over 30 minutes to decrease the fever. After 8 hours develop comatose. The blood level were more than 2 per mil, but after 34 hours, it was a complete recovery. In the next published case, it was the same situation. The next slide, please. it gives a difference between ethanol and the propanols. Ethanol is characterized by a linear elimination rate ended to or finished to acetaldehyde, and propan-1-ol is metabolized to propionaldehyde and propan-2-ol to acetone. The half-life time is in principle for all the alcohols identical, between 1 and 4 hours, a little longer for ethanol. The next slide, please. The consequence of these data is that we have no risk of accumulation to blood levels about 0.1 per mil by usual hand disinfection. The next slide, please. We tested 2 hand rubs. Product D content propan-1-ol 30% and propan-2-ol 45%, and product E only isopropanol 70%, also tested, of course, blinded. Surprisingly, we found for propan-1-ol at all volunteers a baseline value. In the literature, it was given that this gives no baseline. The baseline was up to 0.1 milligram per liter. I cannot explain this. We must discuss this in the future with biochemics, but it is clear we have a baseline. We found also a baseline for acetone, which is clear, and for propionaldehyde. In opposite to the literature opinion, only at one volunteer was a baseline value detectable for propan-2-ol with 0.07 milligram per liter. For the other, the concentrations were below the limit of detection. The next slide, please. Our median baseline values indicate complete abstinence of volunteers from alcohol, inclusive congeners, before beginning the experiment. This was the most difficult thing to find these volunteers, I can say. The next slide, please. The exposure by hygienic hand disinfection was, as the applied amount, was for preparat D about 90 gram propan-1-ol, for D about 30 gram isopropanol, and for E 44 gram isopropanol. The next slide, please. The highest serum levels of propan-1-ol was found also, as in the case of ethanol, 30 minutes after the last application for hand rub D, with a serum level of 0.012 per mil. The total amount of absorbed propan-1-ol was 600 milligram, and the absorbed amount of propanol was, the absorbed proportion was 3.2%. The next slide, please. For isopropanol, the highest serum levels was found not 30, but 60 minutes after the last application, with the maximum of serum level of 0.006 or 0.0075 per mil. The total amount of absorbed isopropanol was for each the same, 309.5, despite that the content of isopropanol was different. I think this is a summation effect of the combination in product D, which contain, beside propan-2-ol, propan-1-ol. The proportion of absorbed propan-2-ol was 1.1% for hand rub D and 0.7% for hand rub D, also in the same manner as for the other preparates. The next slide, please. The blood concentration of acetone after hygienic and surgical hand disinfection ranged between 1.6 and 5 milligram per liter. These are all physiological values. The next slide, please. The exposure by surgical hand disinfection was equivalent to about 50 gram propan-1-ol with hand rub D, 70 gram isopropanol with hand rub D, and more than 100 for isopropanol with hand rub E. The next slide, please. After surgical hand disinfection, the highest serum levels of propan-1-ol was found 30 minutes after the last application for hand rub D, with a maximum of serum level of 0.022 per mil. The total amount of absorbed propan-1-ol was about 900 milligram, and the proportion of absorbed propan-1-ol was 1.9%. The next slide, please. After surgical hand disinfection, the highest serum levels of isopropanol was for preparat D 0.012 and for E 0.0097 per mil. And the total amount of absorbed isopropanol was about 600 milligram or 470 milligram for E. And the absorbed proportion of absorbed isopropanol was 0.8, respectively 0.4%. The next slide, please. I come to the conclusion of the all results. The absorption and the metabolization rate of the three alcohols is nearly the same. But we know ethanol is less toxic than the propanols. I have compared in this table the LD50 for oral application for RET, and this is for ethanol 14,000 milligram per kilogram, and for N and isopropanol about 5,500 milligram per kilogram. This means ethanol is threefold lower toxic than N and isopropanol. The total absorbed amount in our study was for ethanol significantly higher than for propan-1-ol and for isopropanol. Therefore, in the next slide, we have calculated the quotient of LD50 and the total absorbed amount under our unrealistic high test exposure. And you can see for ethanol, the quotient is 640, for propan-1-ol 400, and for isopropanol 700. So we can say in this comparison, isopropanol has the best quotient. Obviously, there result no toxic risk for all alcohols after dermal absorption. The next slide, please. Possibility for the risk assessment is the acceptable daily intake. The WHO recommend for ethanol ADI of 7 gram per day. The highest absorbed amount in our extreme exposure test was only 1.5 gram per day. The European Food Safety Association recommend only, this is not a given value, for isopropanol of only 2.4 milligram per kilogram. This means 145 milligram per body weight. I cannot understand these recommendations, and I have not found results for the cause of this very low ADI. This must, in the future, of my opinion, must be discussed. But the highest absorbed amount in our extreme exposure test was 600 milligrams, so we can see under normal test conditions, also with this very low ADI, the application of isopropanol is without toxic risk. For propan-1-ol, up to now, no ADI is allocated. So we cannot make this comparison. The next slide, please. The absorption of the three alcohols is lower than 0.03 per mil. The possibility of systemic toxic effects can be effectively ruled out. But we recommend in our hospital, under respect of our results for skin antisepsis on newborns, only ethanol-based preparations, because dermal absorption and inhalative properties are more tolerated than propanol. And for premature newborns, we recommend only non-absorbable antiseptics, for instance, based on octinidine in water. But of course, no antiseptics which are also have an absorption, e.g. iodophores, e.g. chlorhexidine, e.g. quaternary ammonium compound. The next slide, please. Of course, a hand rub must be safe and effective. The exposure to a hand rub should be only as long as necessary to ensure the required efficacy, tolerance, and compliance. In this relation, recent data suggest that a 1.5-min application time for surgical hand antisepsis is as effective as a 3-min application of the reference 60% propanol. So, of course, we recommend in our hospital the short application time of 1.5 minutes. And what is also new, we have published this only 2 weeks ago, we do not need a hand wash before the surgical hand disinfection. And a hand wash before the hand disinfection, of course, increase the dermal absorption. So we have the possibility to increase the dermal absorption, especially by surgical hand disinfection, by shortening the application time from 3 minutes to 1.5 minutes, and that we make, that we do not pre-wash before the surgical hand disinfection. Thank you. That were our results, and we plan in the next weeks to publish in the first publication the results with ethanol, and after this the further results with N and isopropanol. I hope it was interesting, and I give the word to Paul.
Thank you very much, Professor Kramer. It's a very interesting teleclass. Your group is clearly doing some very excellent work in this area. Now, where will these results be published?
This is a good question. I hope I will see in the Lancet.
Okay.
But I cannot say I am successful.
Okay.
But my GEAL study was also in the Lancet, so I have a little hope.
A few people have sent in questions in advance.
Mm-hmm.
The first question was regarding the cultural and religious aspects of alcohol hand disinfectant use. Now, to fully answer that question, earlier today I added 2 documents to the notes section for this teleclass for everyone who has registered for it. One is entitled Religious and Cultural Aspects of Hand Hygiene. This is a document taken from the new World Health Organization Hand Hygiene Guidelines. The second document is the entire WHO hand hygiene guideline, if you'd like to have that for your reference. I'll invite you to go and look at those on your own. Now, to Professor Kramer, another question that was put forward was regarding the flammability of the alcohols and the safety and the accidents that may happen as a result of the flammability of these products. I understand you've recently undertaken some testing in this area.
This is a very interesting question. And we have finished in these days, yesterday, I can see, our study. We have sent a questionnaire in the last year to 4,000 227 hospitals, and 20% give an answer, and we ask after accidents during the last 30 years. And in these about 800 hospitals during the last 30 years were only 7 incidents. But all incidents were not by useful views, but in connection with mistakes. I can say the first case was vandalism in a visitor toilet. The second was also vandalism. A patient wanted to be live on TV and provoked a fire by spilling 500 milliliters of an alcohol-based hand rub to a cotton awning, following by a burning hand kerchief. The third was a nurse did not allow the hand rub to evaporate and lit a candle. Hair and skin on hand with very mild burn first degree. The fourth was the same situation also. The nurse did not allow the hand rub to evaporate and lit a cigarette. So I can say we must learn or training the nurses that it is a risk immediately after hand disinfection to smoke a cigarette. But our hospital is in the meantime a non-smoker hospital, so we have no the problem. The fifth case was also the same situation, The sixth was completely other. During construction work in hospital, a construction trainee from a contracted company smoked during a hand disinfection and suffered a mild burn. The conclusion of this is that we must also give instruction for other workers who are only for a short time in the hospital and work there. And the seventh was in the psychiatry. Patient had spilled a hand rub all over his own body and lit himself in suicidal intention. This is also important. As conclusion, we said in such a ward, it is forbidden with open dispenser. You must a dispenser who can close with a code or with a key, or you must take your alcohol in your in a bottle. So this was only 7 cases during 30 years in about 800 hospitals. I think this is very interesting.
To your knowledge, there has been no incidence of static electricity causing
No one case. Also not with the, electricity from the own electricity.
Right.
You know what I will say.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's very interesting. Of course, this is a very big thing in North America. It comes up quite a lot, I'm sure, worldwide.
I think that I will give these results, especially in the U.S. Journals, why I think that it is more important than in Europe, these results.
Is this a report that you would be able to share with me, or has it not been?
I can this, yes. I have really, today the work is ready.
So this is about as recent as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay. If you could email that to me, I'll make sure that it gets shared with everybody else.
Yeah, okay.
That's great. Thanks again to Professor Kramer for sharing his knowledge and experience with us. Obviously got a lot more to share, and I look forward to working with you again in the future. Thanks to Deb SBS for their sponsorship and their moral support, and a special thank you to all of you for joining our teleclass today. Until we meet again, keep disinfecting your hands, and we'll talk again soon. Goodbye.
Goodbye.